The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. The problem of indwelling sin. God solves Christians' indwelling sin problem in seven ways. We have seen five of these. In this lesson, number six, Christ died and intercedes for Christians. The scene is a courtroom.
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
What are these things? Well, certainly, predestined to glory. If God is for us, technically a first-class condition, which is assumed to be true. And this is for us. Paul uses two strong Greek words, hyper, for, this is our defense, and kata, this is the prosecution. Recall the story of Abraham, who was asked by God to offer up his son as a sacrifice before providing a substitute. Does Abraham look as though he wants to do this? Verse 32.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
He gave him up. Well, gave him up to whom? Some theorize that God gave Jesus to the devil, or to human beings. Others, his own demands. For us all, again, the same word, hyper, is this for all humans or only elect ones? He will give us. The verb means to grace, which is to give favor or to acquit, to forgive. And all which things? In the medieval times, Christians often painted Jesus and the Father seated together holding up the world. Verse 33.
Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Well, who will bring any charge against us? Well, certainly the devil does. He is the accuser, sometimes governments, other times popes or sultans, or even different theologies, sometimes our own neighbors. Well, whom has God chosen? To be chosen by God means that you have joined yourself with Jesus Christ, the chosen one, whom God chose before the foundation of the world. In the book of Revelation, we are the called ones, the chosen ones, the faithful ones. He justifies us. This is legal acquittal, forgiven everything. Well, did we do it? Yes, but we are acquitted. Again, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. 34.
Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us.
Yes, Christ died. He was our substitute, who carried our sins to the cross and then into hell, where he left them. And he is raised, victorious over death. And at the right side of God, this is the place of supreme authority. Jesus said, after his resurrection, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And he intercedes, that is, every time the devil brings a legitimate accusation against us, Jesus steps in and pleads our cause. He has already carried away our sins. Our task is to be killing sin, lest sin be killing us. God solves Christians' indwelling sin problem in seven ways. The seventh of these is this: nothing separates Christians from God's love. Currently in the Sudan, many are suffering famine and death. Verse 35.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?
Verse 36, contains a quotation from Psalm 44, verse 22, to which we shall return. Who shall separate us? This is a masculine pronoun, assuming a living creature. And shall separate us? All of these items are causes of physical death. Well, let's look at Psalm 44. This is a national lament or complaint and a prayer to God for help. The first three verses deal with our ancestors' victories. We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory, but your right hand and your arm, and the light of your countenance, for you delighted in them. They and them here refer to our ancestors. And then our own past victories, verses 4 through 8. You are my king and my God. You command victories for Jacob. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down our assailants. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes, and have put to confusion those who hate us. Verse 8. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Then the psalm turns to our present woes. Bad things sometimes happen to the righteous. Yet you have rejected us and shamed us and have not gone out with our armies. You made us turn back from the foe, and our enemies have gotten spoil. You have made us like sheep for slaughter and have scattered us among the nations. Things can still get worse. You have made us a byword amongst the nations, a laughingstock amongst the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. At the words of the taunters and the revilers, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. These revilers, who talk about our imaginary sky fairy or sky daddy, and our enemies, which include the Islamic State. We await when things will get better. Meanwhile, we remain faithful. All this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the haunt of jackals and covered us with deep darkness. False to the covenant, that is, to be unfaithful to God and his promises. Our heart has not disbelieved, and our steps have not been disobedient. Yet we must sometimes bury our dead in mass graves. 20. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread out our hands to a strange God, would not our God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Because of you we are being killed all day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is the verse cited in Romans 8:36. The name of our God in the Old Testament was Yahweh, and in the New Testament, Jesus Christ. And the strange God? This would be to convert to another religion. So, what do we do but bow down and praise our God? Our present prayer. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. The sake of your steadfast love. From Psalm 44, we recognize a few possible causes of lost salvation. These included to forget Yahweh, to be false to his covenant, to turn back from him, to depart from his ways, to forget the name and person of our God, and to spread our hands to a foreign God. Those who persevere, however, will be received into glory by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?
We are more than victorious. We are acquitted and will yet be glorified. More than victorious. There is no guilt, no fear, no shame, no hell for us. And he loved us, an aorist tense, which is timeless. He still loves us, although our enemies seek to destroy us.
For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Nor anything else. The term here is ktisis, which means a created thing, and to separate us, remember, it is only God's love that counts. Now, these insights lead to various views on the matter of eternal security. Calvinists, for example, teach the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. They do not mean that the saints must persevere, but rather that the saints will persevere. Catholicism, however, requires you to continually receive communion. Should you be excommunicated, you are not allowed to take communion and therefore lose your eternal life. Then there is Arminianism, very common in holiness churches, which says that only to deny Christ can cause you to be lost forever, whereas most other religions require you to earn your way to heaven, either by good deeds or by killing those in other religions. However, atheism solves the problem, saying that no one is either saved or lost. You simply cease to exist. Psychology, however, simply says that if you are thinking rationally and are emotionally stable, this is the only salvation you need. However, Scripture reminds us that it is to remain faithful to Jesus to the end, which leads to eternal salvation. Otherwise put, the only requirement to obtain salvation is the only requirement to retain salvation. Jesus said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." For next time, read Romans chapter 9.